So who do you identify with in the gospel story that we just heard? There's Philip, who seems to think of the world in terms of cost and gain. There's Andrew, who seems to think that something else is going on, but he's not quite sure what yet. And then there's Jesus, of course, who asks, perhaps with a smile, a question that he already knows the answer to. And then there's the young boy. Have you ever thought of yourself as the young boy? One of those nameless figures that plays such an important role in the Gospels. Put yourself in the story. It's about midday, everyone's getting kind of hungry, but no one brought any food. No one except you, because you thought ahead. Or maybe your mother yelled at you as you were going out the door, "Don't forget your lunch." But whatever the reason, everyone is looking around for something to eat, and you may be trying to hide that sack with the bread and the fish in it. And then Andrew, one of Jesus' closest friends, comes up to you and asks for your food. What do you do? Do you hesitate? Thinking that everyone else should have been as smart as you, so they're out of luck? Would you bargain, holding something back for yourself? Okay, well, I can give you one fish and three loaves of bread, but that's all I can spare. Or would you be generous and open-handed, giving everything you had to the Lord, so that God could show his wonders to all? What did the boy do? What would you do? What do you do with God, with what God has given you? There's a saying that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. This doesn't mean we shouldn't make plans. Of course we should. But rather, the saying reminds us that from God's perspective, we plan far too small. God has a greater plan. And he has a plan for each one of us. Each individual has been given a unique set of gifts, talents, blessings, and abilities. And they are given to us for a specific purpose. You are here to fulfill a purpose in a way that only you can do. Take the choir, for example. Its members have a gift for music. They may all be singing the same piece, but each musician executes it slightly differently. In the choir, all of these differences come together to make a unique sound. If you replace one member with another, or add members, then the sound is different. God has given us all the same task, the same commission, to save souls and bring humanity back to him. We accomplish this task by using the gifts he has given us. The way we accomplish this task is different for each person and depends on their individual gifts and callings. This is important because it may take a single specific voice to reach a lost soul and bring them back into the light. We may never know the good that we do, but that does not make it any less important that we do it. And it is important for us to realize that we are only truly happy when we cooperate with the plan God has for us. When we develop our gifts, use them according to his will for us, then we know peace and contentment. A peace and contentment that comes from the knowledge that we are doing what we were put here to do. On the other hand, when we work against God's plan, when we close ourselves off to the great commission he has given us, then we experience frustration, anger, and doubt. When we work against God, then it seems that all of our labor comes to nothing. In the end, we can only find true, lasting peace and contentment by cooperating with God's plan for us. By ourselves, our efforts are inadequate. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish are not enough to feed more than 5,000 people. We are not even up to the great commission God has given each of us to bring souls back to heaven. All of this is beyond our capability. It is too much to ask of us, and so we tend not to think about it too much. After all, who could possibly have the talent and wisdom to defeat the forces of evil that seem to be running rampant in the world? Look at what we have seen in the world just in the past few weeks. The truly evil thinking behind the abortion industry has been revealed. The sacraments of the church have been under attack, and innocent people are murdered in the name of Muslim extremists. How can the meager resources of an individual, a parish, or even a diocese do battle with corrupt politicians, media moguls, international banking cartels, and all the other forces that promote a culture of death within our society? We have only a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. You may think, what can I do? I'm just an ordinary person. But an ordinary person is the most important thing in all of God's creation. And when we come together, it is the ordinary people that accomplish great wonders for the glory of God. By ourselves, we can do nothing. But with God's help, we can do anything. Only if we give completely of ourselves, putting all that we have and all that we are into Christ's hands, trusting in His abilities and not on our own, only then can we hope to fulfill our life and our mission and make a difference in the world, a positive difference in our hearts and in our society for the good of the kingdom. Think about the great cathedrals of Europe. They were not built by a single individual. No matter how talented a single artist or architect may have been, he was not up to the task of building such a monumental structure alone. The construction of the cathedrals spanned centuries and employed artists and craftsmen of every vocation. The cathedrals are the result of hundreds of people working together toward a common goal, sometimes over several generations. Those who started the work would not live to see it finished, but it didn't matter. Everyone contributed to this project that had as its purpose a way for everyone to glorify God. We must adopt cathedral thinking and consider how our gifts can benefit everyone and build up God's kingdom, even if it takes generations to do so. Just as Jesus fed more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, God can take our offerings, multiply them, and change the world. C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien told us how valuable fairy tales and fables are in the things they have to teach us. So I have a fable that I want to share with you. It concerns two birds, a songbird and a dove. The songbird asks the dove, "What is the weight of a snowflake?" "Nothing," answers the dove. "Then I'll tell you a story," responds the songbird. "I was sitting on a branch of a fir tree close to the trunk when it started to snow. Not heavily, not like a blizzard, but just calmly, like a dream. And since I had nothing better to do, I decided to count the number of snowflakes that fell on the twigs and needles of my branch. The number was exactly 3,971,342. When the 3,971,343rd snowflake fell, the branch broke off. And with that, the songbird flew away. The dove considered the story for a while and finally said to herself, "Perhaps there is only one person's voice lacking for peace to come into the world. Perhaps all that is lacking in order to feed more starving people and clothe more of the poor and save one more soul is your contribution." The devil knows this. He knows that God can accomplish wonders through our offerings. And so the devil does whatever he can to discourage us from putting our few loaves of bread and small fish at Christ's service. You may feel there is not much God can do with you. You may hesitate before taking some bold action to do something for your neighbor that will glorify God. You may even convince yourself that this is humility, but it is in fact a subtle form of arrogance. It betrays a lack of faith in God's ability to work through us. That hesitation, that reluctance to take a risk for Christ, to trust that He is powerful enough to make up for our shortcomings, is a temptation against hope. The feeling that we are not worthy is the devil preying on our insecurities. The true multiplication of the loaves is the distribution of the body of Christ in the Eucharist. The apparent meager sampling of bread becomes more than enough to strengthen and sustain us. The body of Christ satisfies our hunger and unites us so that together in Christ we can accomplish miracles. The cathedrals are an example of what we can do together, united in Christ. That unity is also under attack. I've heard in the past few weeks of people leaving the church in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision on same-sex marriage. At first, I was confused. If someone were going to leave the church over its teachings on homosexual unions, why did they wait for the Supreme Court to publish its decision? Did they truly expect that the church would change its teaching and start celebrating gay weddings in our parishes? Of course we can't do that. The sacrament of matrimony is ordained by God, and no one, not even the Supreme Court of the United States of America, has the authority to say that God should not be God. And so the only conclusion I can draw from people leaving the church now is that we have failed them. And that failure presents us all with an opportunity. We are tasked by God to bring souls back to Him. So let us go out and spread the message of the gospel. Let us go out and show the world, not just by our words, but by our deeds as well, that everyone is welcome in God's church. We may not welcome the actions they take, but every person is a person for whom Christ died. Every person is deserving of dignity, respect, and love. And our challenge, our opportunity, is to use our gifts, go out, and remind the world of that.